From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. The U.S. Treasury Department says Alaska Native corporations are eligible for a share of the $8 billion in coronavirus relief funding for tribes. The department took this stance late Thursday, setting the stage for a court battle. More than a dozen tribes have sued the federal government to try to keep the money out of the hands of the corporations. They contend it should go only to tribes that have government-to-government relationships with the United States. The Treasury Department says a plain reading of the CARES Act makes the corporations eligible. None of the funding for tribes has been distributed yet. And Governor Mike Dunleavy says nearly half of the CARES Act federal stimulus money received by the state will go straight to local governments. But as Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, some lawmakers aren't sure the governor's appropriation of federal dollars is legal.
On a Wednesday call with reporters, Governor Mike Dunleavy said $562.5 million would go to cities and boroughs.
We're hoping that the legislature takes a look at this and acts quickly. We want to get this money out as soon as we possibly can and get it into the hands of Alaskans as soon as we possibly can.
More than a quarter of the funding would go to the Anchorage municipality. In most cases, the money would come in stages, paid in May, July, and October. The Alaska Municipal League applauded the governor's move. In a memo, the organization representing local governments projects short and long-term revenues will be down $250 million across the state. But AML Executive Director Niels Andreasen says not all communities are celebrating. In some cases, the stimulus funding won't make up for revenue erased by the governor's vetoes, specifically his blocking of school bond debt reimbursement. And some communities are receiving fewer payments than others.
There's questions about, you know, why some communities received an additional contribution or distribution and some didn't. But, you know, generally, the feedback that we're receiving from communities is that they're really hopeful that this meets their needs in the short term and the long term.
The governor's chief of staff, Ben Stevens, told reporters local governments would receive the funds with few strings attached.
We can provide resources through the CARES Act to the municipality. How the municipality chooses to use those is the municipality side of it.
But some lawmakers say they're skeptical it's that simple and are waiting for the legislature's nonpartisan lawyers to weigh in. Representative Chris Tuck chairs the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. The Anchorage Democrat says there are questions about whether the legislature will need to reconvene to appropriate these federal funds.
The last thing we want to happen is to owe the federal government this money back.
Tuck says the funds need to follow federal guidelines spelled out by the CARES Act that's being overseen by the U.S. Treasury's Inspector General.
So, but we're going to do this very, very quickly because we know that Alaskans are hurting. We know that with this economic crisis that's been caused through this pandemic, that people need relief, and we're going to do that as quick as we can. But we're going to make sure that we do it right and we do it orderly.
In a statement released to reporters later in the day, Governor Dunleavy walked back his earlier assertion that federal stimulus funds could replace state funding he'd vetoed. And he wrote, there continues to be a lack of clarity as to whether the use of CARES Act funds can be used to backfill lost revenue as a result of the pandemic. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And in Juneau, hundreds of people and local businesses have been donating time and skills to help the community through the pandemic. A few weeks ago, the city put together a task force to connect volunteers to community needs. And as of Wednesday, it's made nearly 200 referrals and almost 100 more volunteers on standby. KTO's Jeremy Shea found out that volunteers are handling health screenings at the airport, delivering groceries, but the vast majority are sewing.
Wow, you have quite a craft room.
I know, it's fabulous. I just love it.
Since hunkering down, Candy Behrens thinks she's personally made and donated something like 350 cloth face masks. She's giving me a little tour and demo through a video call.
Well, this probably isn't such a good soundbite because my bobbin keeps kaflubering.
She's definitely into sewing. She's got cubbies mounted on the walls filled with colorful fabrics, a table specifically for cutting, a pile of strips cut from t-shirts that will become elastic bands on masks. She owns Behrens Mechanical with her husband. The business happens to have a sheet metal shop in back, which she figured out recently could be used to turn inexpensive aluminum ducts into metal strips that would improve cloth masks.
You know, you always see the doctors that put on those flat masks and then they squeeze their nose. Well, there's a little piece of aluminum that's in there. And we did, determined that that was probably the same weight as rigid dryer duct, aluminum rigid dryer duct.
So the business has been donating a little bit of shop time and hundreds of these metal strips to the mask sewing community too. Threading the metal strips into the top seam helps the masks hold their shape and keeps glasses from fogging up. Barron's is one of more than 100 volunteers sewing masks and making other protective gear for Juno. She says it's really satisfying putting her hobby to use, tweaking designs, and sharing tips. City officials are actively seeking applications from people and organizations with volunteer needs and volunteers willing to pitch in. It works like this. Volunteers fill out a form saying what they're willing to do. Others fill out forms saying what they need help with. There's some screening, and volunteers from column A get connected with people in column B. Jordan Nigro normally runs the Zach Gordon Youth Center for the city. When the city went into emergency mode, she started coordinating the task force behind that volunteer effort.
You know, it's, I think, really helpful for people to have something to do during this time. I think we're probably all experiencing that to a certain degree.
The vast majority of the volunteers are sewing, but there are also dozens of volunteers helping out with deliveries. Others are helping out at the airport with health screenings of incoming passengers. It's not all in person. Nigro says several people have also offered counseling and parental support services over the phone.
We haven't had a request for that so much yet, but I suspect that we will if this continues to go on.
She's playing with an idea to do a Q&A over Facebook Live with those parenting support volunteers.
How do we all like get along in the house when we're bumping up against each other for weeks and weeks?
Nigro says it feels good seeing so many volunteers turn out.
You know, this is Juno. I would say that the volunteers are kind of coming from everywhere. You know, they're different ages, they're different backgrounds, they're different things they want to volunteer for. But they all have in common that they really care about Juno and they want to help out their community. And I think that is pretty awesome.
Nigro says if you or your organization needs volunteers or want to volunteer, fill out the form on the task force website at juno.org. Lately, she says there's a need for volunteers who can help out with light housekeeping. In Juno, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And now to Petersburg, where rapid testing machines for COVID-19 arrived earlier in the week. The machines won't detect the virus as well as sending the samples out of town, but it will help local health providers find positive results quickly. KFSK's Angela Denning has more on that story.
The high-speed machines should turn around test results in less than an hour.
We're very excited to be able to offer this in Petersburg.
Liz Bacom is the infection prevention manager at the Petersburg Medical Center.
I think it will make a difference in how patients are managed.
The machines were tested in the local lab first, and Bacom says they should be able to start using them on Wednesday. She says positive test results come back a lot quicker than negatives.
If it's truly a positive, it'll pop up pretty quick, like within 5 or 10 minutes. But it won't release a negative result for a little bit longer because it has to make sure that it has had the opportunity to allow the virus to, the RNA to replicate so that they can detect it.
The machines aren't foolproof. They don't detect the virus as well as the equipment in the state laboratories. While the state's lab can pick up the virus when people don't have symptoms, the rapid testing machines are not as sensitive.
So if people are not symptomatic or they're very early in their infection and their symptoms are not as apparent, then they may test as negative on our equipment.
That's why all Petersburg samples will still be sent out to the state lab anyway, no matter the outcome of the rapid tests. Bacom says the state wants to study all of the positive results, and they want to double-check the negatives.
You know, we don't want to report out a negative and find out later that they should have been reported as positive. We're going to be very conservative on how that gets rolled out.
As of Tuesday morning, 87 people in Petersburg had been screened for COVID-19. 79 tests were negative, 1 is positive, 1 is recovered, and 6 are still pending. A few weeks ago, Petersburg patients were waiting up to 10 days to get test results back from commercial laboratories in the lower 48. State labs were taking several days. Bacom says they are sending nearly all of their tests to the state lab now, and the turnaround time is down to 2 to 3 days. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of tonight, rain is expected and lows around 40. For Friday, rain is likely and highs near 50. You're listening to KTOO. For more news and information, you can always visit our website. That's at ktoo.org.